Hello and welcome to Every Woman Today. I'm Una Nowling, and on soundboard today is my wife and co-host Fiona Nowling.
Hello.
Hello. We also have in the studio with us Christina Frazier, our associate host who's in training.
Hello.
And special guest here at the station as well,
Genevieve Tioni Job.
I'm sorry, it's hard for me to read.
Thank you.
So we have a really great show today. We're going to be talking with some folks that have been at the Women's March in Lawrence today, as well as discussing the Women's March in general in our studio. We're going to have some clips to play for you from the Women's March that Christina and her husband recorded earlier today. And we're going to have two guests to talk to by phone about these issues. Christina, tell me a little bit about what happened today.
Well, it is a kind of a gloomy day, as everybody can tell, but the spirits were high, and this was at South Park in Lawrence, Kansas, and it's the Women's March. I think the Women's March in Topeka and some other places are happening tomorrow, and tomorrow is actually the true anniversary for the Women's March that happened last year, but in Lawrence, you know, we went to that one because it's before the show, and there were lots of pink hats and lots of great signs, and also it was really interesting because there was a really broad range of people that were at the march. There was a lot of men I saw at the march, a lot of younger women and children, and then also older women and just everybody in between, but it was a great mix of different kinds of people. And even though, you know, it was kind of muddy and mucky, there was just lots of laughter and lots of joy. It was really great energy.
About how many people would you estimate were there today?
Well, we had to leave around the time when the march actually started. But by that time, I would say there was really about 300 or 400 people. And there were tons of people flowing in, there definitely were many, many more people coming.
Now, I know there are marches, like you said, all throughout the area and all across the nation, both today and tomorrow. I know there's a march in Wichita, one in Topeka, one in St. Louis. It's not quite the same level of activity as last year. The weather probably has something to do with that, though. I mean, a lot of folks thought it was going to rain today.
Yes, there's something that that happened on our show last week that just resonated with me that I wanted to mention. I think it was Christine Smith. I think she was the one that said that back in the '60s, people would just come out for things, whereas she said the difference between the '60s and today is people tend to email or text or what have you, and there was something about just having the mass of people that I think just shows that you're not alone and that there's a majority of people who feel the same way as many women do, that, you know, women's rights and women just in general need to be lifted up. And I think that that's what's so important about the marches is that, and also for that matter, I think for younger, you know, people and children to see that it's an important of enough issue of an issue that even in the rain and even when it's you know kind of crappy outside, it's worth coming out to and being seen. And that was something that happened last week that I thought was really interesting. She said just having the physical bodies of people out was a huge important thing for in the '60s and made the energy just more infectious than just emails and kind of disconnected that way.
I think that's a very critical point, to just come out and be present. I saw that, unlike last year's march, there was a lot more squabbling online around all of the events pages for the various marches. There have been people coming in and posting criticism, telling the march organizers, you have to do this, you have to do that, why isn't your march doing this? A lot of people that I have to wonder if they are just you know, slacktivists who want to complain a lot about everything but not actually volunteer to help out, or if some of it is a false flag thing. Because we do know from this last year, from many news reports, that quite a lot of the some of the most prominent news items and factoids leading up to the election were actually created by bot factories in Bulgaria and Romania that were all projecting an anti-democratic, anti-Hillary message. And it almost makes me wonder if people were trying to derail some of these events on purpose.
Well, when in doubt, blame Russia. No, I'm just kidding. Although, I mean, there definitely is some truth to that in today's times. But I think the only sort of negative thing that I did hear about at the march, which I was a little bit surprised, was something that you and Fiona and I just briefly mentioned, was the issue with the hats and that some people felt that maybe it was offensive to some transgender people. And I was surprised that I heard that, because I thought that was kind of a fringy thing, but evidently that's something that is kind of a meme or something that's percolating up.
I don't doubt that you can find some transgender people who could take offense. I mean, if you get a large enough group, I mean, after all, there is a real group out there, Jews for Hitler. So mm-hmm. You can always find some people to get a soundbite from. And, you know, I probably know 1,000 transgender people just in the broader metro area. I never heard anyone have any kind of complaint or issue about the hats, although it's certainly possible, and I could see some reasons. I think people might have tried to make hay out of that to just disrupt the marches, to spread fear, uncertainty, and doubt, and to try to take back away from us some of the momentum that we've gained towards the end of this year with a few noted political successes across the landscape, you know, to try to, I guess, poison the message. Then again, it could just be legitimate differences, but you have to wonder in this era of with a president who screams fake news whilst being mm-hmm. the largest spouter of such fake news out of his own mouth, what reality really is.
Yes, I agree. I definitely think that I mean, it's pretty clear that there are a lot of forces out there that are trying to really exacerbate the divisions in our country. And I think I said it last time on the show, when I'm actually out in the world and I'm talking to different people, Republican people, all different kinds of people, you know, the division is just not there like it is in the mainstream media.
Exactly.
And so I'm like, okay, it really kind of in a way is a different world that you see on Facebook and TV from the world that I interact with just on a daily basis.
Now, I know that you gathered some audio clips while you were out on site as our roving reporter today and everything. Would you like to introduce the clips or tell us a little bit about what we'll be hearing?
Yes, I spoke to two women who were guest speakers at the Women's March in Lawrence. One was Lisa Larson, and she's with the Lawrence City Commission, and I think we can play that now.
Very good.
I have two that don't have name labels on, so we have a 50-50 chance that I'll get Lisa Larson. And then the third one says Alexia Tapia.
Okay, we'll gamble today.
Yeah, look at the draw. The wheel of fortune will spin. Fiona, go ahead and spin that wheel.
Can you tell me your name? And you're speaking here today at Lawrence on the Women's March.
Correct. My name is Lisa Larson, and I'm on the Lawrence City Commission.
Okay. Can you tell me, were you at the march? What did you do last year in 2017?
Last year I stayed in town and participated in that event.
Okay. And I've been told that the goal for this year's Women's March is more about voting and getting women involved. Can you tell me what you think about that?
Yes, I think we've got a lot of momentum going for us this past year when we've had so many women sign up to be in a leadership position and to run for office. And so the momentum is with us, and we need to maintain it.
If women want to keep the momentum going of the Women's March after the march is over, what is the best thing for them to do? How do you suggest that women participate?
You know, I would suggest that they look to their local organizations, such as the League of Women Voters, and also our party, the Democratic Party. They're getting a strong course going this year, that voting does matter, elections do matter, and I would just suggest that they start there.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
As I said, what are we going to do next? Well, we are going to talk about Lisa Larson. Yes, she was one of the speakers, and she just had a lot of enthusiasm for the march, and she definitely is participating as a city official. And I think something that's really important to remember is that it's not just the presidential elections that are important to vote in. And I am, when I say this, I'm saying it to myself, I'm just as guilty as anybody of focusing a little bit too much on the big election instead of being concerned about the small election, which are just as important. And in fact, we can make more change, more quickly on the personal level if we focus on voting and, city elections and such.
And it's also where a lot of politicians get their start. I mean, last year's presidential election, year before last by now, is very unusual because usually it's someone who's come up through politics and has a lot of political experience, and they all get their start in local politics usually. So if you ignore all the little ones, the local races, then you give those people free rein to do whatever they want, and then that's their resume for going for bigger posts. And if they don't get called up for not listening to their constituents when they're local and a lot of people may actually know them, they're never going to have any motivation to change or to listen to their constituents when they're in a larger and more powerful position.
I'm really pleased to see that, we have government officials taking part officially in the protest and so forth, and in the march. Now, we did last year, Mayor Sly James was very prominently there at the Women's March here in Kansas City. I sat just one person away from him up on the podium before we all spoke, and I know that he took some heat over the intervening year for having stood up and made his voice heard. Now, Mayor James, he's like the honey badger of politics. He doesn't care about that at all. But it's really refreshing to see, that people are still from within our government willing to come out and do what's right.
Yes. Yeah. I totally agree. Should we run another clip from the march?
Oh, yes, let's.
Okay. I think this clip will be from Julia Goodfox, and she is a professor at Haskell University in Lawrence.
This is Christina Frazier with KKF, and I'm here with Julia Goodfox at the Women's March in Lawrence. And we wanted to get a few comments from her about the march today.
I'm really looking forward to the energy that we're going to be seeing. We have a really good turnout. Looks like we have maybe about 350, 400 people in attendance so far. And just excited to show my support for people who want to protect the Constitution of the United States.
So what will you be speaking about today?
I'll be speaking more about, generally about the importance of politics, the real purpose of politics from my perspective, and I'll be bringing up a couple issues with Indigenous peoples, American Indians in the United States.
Okay, and did you participate in the Women's March at all last year?
No, I was unable to go. It was the beginning of the semester. I'm at Haskell, and so just could not attend last year.
And so how do you think women can show their momentum and their support for the Women's March after the march is over today into the new year?
That's an excellent question, and I believe that gaining the working with the momentum, keeping that spirit going with our political groups, our civic activities, just making sure that we keep each other's spirits up. This is a long-term effort. We're not going to see our solutions in place anytime soon. But perhaps with just coordinating with each other, with other communities, with shared interest, we can get more women elected into Congress. And not just because they're women, but women that do support the ideals of the country.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we're back. And that was Julia Goodfox. And I think she had a lot of really great things to say. I think what I was really trying to focus on was, you know, what happens after the march, because I think that's so important to keep the momentum going and not to just, you know, just to keep the momentum going. Because like she said, it's going to be a long-term commitment to make change, and it's not going to be a kind of a one-off situation. But I think it's good. I definitely feel like with all the negativity in this last year that, you know, it's definitely bringing people together, I think.
I think another thing it illustrates too, passively, so to speak, is the fact that the women's marches, although they are often called the Women's March, they go by the name of the Women's March and so forth, they actually were largely a multicultural, multi-level, intersectional event. Last year, we had up on the stage, we had speakers of Jewish faith. We had a Muslim imam on the stage. We had, well, to toot my own horn, we had me talking about transgender rights on the stage. We had poverty activists and so forth, anti-poverty activists. We had everything that all lumps together the populations and the peoples of this nation that have been marginalized and pushed to the side and ignored under this umbrella banner that we call the Women's March. So it's almost unfortunate that we know it by that name, because while the issue of feminism, discrimination, sexual harassment, sexual assault, all these things that impact us as women are really critically important to be highlighted and out there in the world, and so that we can stand up and talk about them, that we also are being intersectional and including all of these other aspects of being a woman, thus being a Jewish woman, a Muslim woman, a transgender woman, and so forth.
Yes, I wanted to ask Genevieve a little bit about her perspective on the march that happened in 2017 and what, you know, Genevieve, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background, and then also what brought you to KKFI, just so we can get a little background on you?
And welcome to every woman. This is her first time on our show.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be with you guys. Very interesting conversation. And as a matter of fact, today is my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
We won't sing. We'll spare our listeners that.
Okay, thank you. So I'm really happy to be on this show, and especially on this day where the Women's March is very important, especially after hearing very negative news on the media about Africa. I was born and raised in Africa, Kenya, and I have been in Kansas City for quite a while. And with that said, we as Africans, we really don't have a lot of voice. We don't have a platform. We don't have where to express ourselves. And now with this, we've encouraged a lot of women to go and march and be represented and be heard. And whatever view, the Jewish women, the African women, the American women, whatever women you come from, you represent us. And whatever you stand for, the issues that you face as a woman, it is not just women in America. In Africa, too, we face the same challenges, and we are still fighting for our rights slowly by slowly. So I'm very impressed by what is going on. And with that said and done, we are going to show Americans that the Africa you've had, especially in the last few days or weeks in the media, is not the Africa you know. We will be telling you about the beautiful Africa that is, the culture that is there, the people that are there. We are all, by the end of the day, human beings like everybody else. So we shall start a conversation. And in the near future, I'm hoping to join KKFI so that we can address more African issues. And then people can be calling in and we can educate them about Africa, teach them about Africa, play African music and answer questions and about Africa. So thank you for having me today to join you on this symbolic day, my birthday, and it's March of Women's Day. Thank you.
That's great.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, but I do think that the view of Africa that came from the White House is a view that not a lot of people in America have. Just in the same way, I also think the president said something about children shouldn't be born on the 9th month because that was a tragedy, he said something about, he misspoke on that also, so.
He misspoke on something? Say it isn't so.
Yes, and that's why we are going to educate people more about so many issues that very few Americans know about Africa, and we're going to start with KKFI here.
Yeah, that's great. Yes.
I heard a host on a show earlier today say that the election in 2016 showed that the worst white person in many people's view is better than the best black person, with Barack Obama as a very successful president, mm-hmm. and the person that they put in being a very strong contrast to that person. But also, the election shows that the worst white man is better than the best white woman because of the turnout and the attacks on Hillary, and she could never do enough. If she was strong and dominant and controlling, then she was being bossy. Yes. But if she tried to do anything and say, hey, I've got daughters, I have emotions, they're like, oh, you're being emotional and frivolous. Exactly. You can never win as a woman.
That's so true. And I definitely felt that way. Whether you were for Hillary or you were for Bernie or, for whoever, I think it was really clear that she was in a very difficult position because she was demonized if she was strong, and decisive. But then also she couldn't be emotional. It's just, and that's something, I mean, clearly the men in the room could just behave however they want, literally however they wanted to behave.
And they're scratching themselves with their car keys.
And there's no, yeah.
The creepy bit I remember is Trump going and standing right behind Hillary and hovering over, and how crowded on her personal space and how icky that made me feel as a woman watching it.
It was creepy is the most apt term for it. It made me start to wonder. I hope she's had some self-defense classes at our local junior college or something.
I wonder if that would have got her more votes or less.
By the way, the young gentleman who made the comment about the election was Rashawn Gilmore on the 10th Voice earlier
today.
Yes, it
was.
So should we go ahead and hear the last clip from the march today?
Yeah, Fiona, she got it right 2 for 2, so given there's one left, she can't get this one wrong.
I could try really hard.
Okay.
Okay. I'm here with Alexa Tapia. Yeah, I'm actually the regional field director for the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, as well as the Kansas Democratic Party.
Give us some specifics about how people can get involved, because my understanding is that this march this year is really focused on getting women involved and vote in politics, and also making sure everybody votes for next election.
Yes, Kansas is in a very unique position this year, and one of the reasons why the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee is focusing on Kansas, they have actually hired 34 organizers nationwide, and Kansas has 2 organizers here because they believe this is the year that Kansas is very winnable and we can elect 2 people to Congress. We also believe we have a lot of great state races from the bottom up, a lot of chances to win. So one of the reasons why we're here organizing is because it's so important to get people involved from your school board to your state races. We want people involved and making a room at the table for everyone to have a voice.
I think last year with the presidential election, people didn't turn out to vote because they felt just sort of disheartened. And how do you suggest that people keep up their energy and their momentum? Because this isn't going to be a short-term, fix. It's going to take a while to change the tide. So what is your opinion about how to keep that momentum?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm a little biased if I say volunteer, but I feel like that sense of unity and networking, especially when you're in a predominantly red state like Kansas, it can be hard to not feel a little defeated. So when you network and unite with like-minded individuals, it really builds that sense of unity and advocacy. We're especially becoming more advocacy and grassroots driven. We also are trying to be focus on an intersectional movement. So we're including everybody and we're making space for as many different voices and thoughts as we can. We have different voter registration drives, which is very important in Kansas as we are one of the most oppressive states on voting. We have different volunteer efforts, and we're actually starting a new project in Douglas County. We're testing it out here first, called a neighbor-to-neighbor plan, where people can get involved and just go and speak with their neighbors and make them feel more involved, because we're going for a sense of community and a movement, and not just for one singular campaign.
So can you give me some contact information about how people can connect with some of the things that you've mentioned?
Yes. Yeah, so first, reach out to their local Democratic Party. I feel like that's always great. You can also reach out to the state Democratic Party. And any different, if you have different issue-specific groups that you're wanting to advocate for, get involved with those as well. But the Democrats are hoping to cast a wide net so we can include all of those different issues and advocate for everybody at the same time. So reach out to your local county party and your Kansas Democratic Party, and we'll be responsive and available, and we're also fun. So,
and my last question, you mentioned the party is becoming more intersectional, or what was the word you used?
Yes, intersectional. So we're hoping to include everybody of different races and different sexual orientations and however they choose to identify, different socioeconomic classes. We really want to advocate for everybody.
And so what are some examples of the Democratic Party reaching out to other groups? I mean, I do feel like the Democratic Party is pretty inclusive, but can you give me some examples of that?
Yeah, we're networking with different events. We actually have an event right after this at the VFW. We've invited several great speakers from different issue-specific groups, speaking to Dreamers, to different Native American issues, to different issues, to Black Lives Matter, to different socioeconomic classes. So we're reaching out and communicating with them and coordinating, collaborating, because we feel that our efforts will not be as effective if they're fragmented. And so we really want to have that sense of unity so that all women can feel respected and feel that they have a place within the Democratic Party.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Awesome. Thank you.
I think you can hear the energy when I was speaking to Alexia. That was almost at the time when they were ready to march, and so we were getting, I think you can feel that things were getting more exciting, and I think that, and she had a lot of really good things to say. On the line with us now is Karen Mathis, who is a visual artist, and she reinterprets the idea of the traditional landscape. You can find her work in galleries and on permanent installation at the new University of Kansas Medical Center building in Kansas City, Kansas. And Karen went to the march in Washington, D.C. last year, and she also was at the march in Lawrence today. So, Karen, are you on the line?
Hey, I'm on the line, yes.
Oh, great. Wow.
Welcome.
Yes.
So can you tell us a little bit about, well, I kind of wanted to go back in time and have you tell us what motivated you to go to the Women's March last year?
Okay, so if we remember what it was like this time last year, I think a lot of us felt like someone had just punched us in the stomach when we saw who our new president was. And I felt powerless. I just felt like everything just was turned on its head, and what was right, well, I had no idea. So we're like, let's just go to the march. So my friend and I booked an airplane ticket, and not knowing very much or where we're going to stay, we just booked a ticket to Baltimore. We stayed with one of her mom's friends, and we didn't know what to expect, but we're like, let's just go. We'll just feel better about things if we go. And I'm really glad we went. It was great.
Tell me a little bit about the energy, the feeling, because I do think it was really interesting how organic the march was, which I guess is reminiscent of the 60s, where people just didn't know what to do, but they just wanted to gather together. And
yes,
so,
it looked incredible.
I will say this. Okay, so we weren't expecting very much. We thought there would be 10,000 people. That's what they projected. And after having had that experience, I'm like, that was just life changing in my mind, because we, like I said, we didn't know that there'd be very many people there, and we were in Baltimore the day before, and we started seeing all these people with pink hats, and it's kind of like, oh, there's some people with pink hats. And then all of a sudden the town of Baltimore was flooded, not even in Washington, of Baltimore with pink hats. And we're like, oh, well, maybe this is going to be bigger than we thought. And we got on the train to go from Baltimore to go to Washington, and the train parking lot was full. And we're like, oh, well, this must be the place where people drive to go catch the train. And every station on the way to Washington was just overrun and the cars were completely full. And it ended up being just a huge march. And so much energy and so much positivity, and it was great. Yeah.
Wow, you really painted a great picture for us. And you also had great faith to go, and then I guess many hundreds of thousands of women felt exactly the same way you did.
Well, and I have to like paint a picture too of what it was like to be in the crowd, because when we were in the crowd, I still thought there was 10,000 people there. I had no idea how many people. And we ran into I guess it had been on the national streaming on CNN or something. But anyway, we ran into some news people, and I'm like, so how many people you think are here? And he told me, and I'm like, what? Like, we had no idea. We were just in the crowd. We were in the moment. We were talking to people all across the country. And that was another thing that was so exciting, men and women and all kinds of people, just from all over. And everybody was kind of, you know, in Washington, D.C. And that was exciting, too, because it's like, oh, there's other people like us. And it was just, it just filled us with energy, and it filled us with hope. Everybody that was there, I think, would probably say something like what I'm saying.
Well, if you listen to our president, there were actually only about 1,000 people at the march.
Yeah, I can tell you there's a lot more than that. And people were in good spirits. I have to say, too, being in that middle of the crowd, I've never been in a crowd so big. So things like bathrooms and, like, I brought a little something to eat, but it's like I didn't bring enough to eat for all day that it took us. And people were sharing food. Somebody gave me hand warmers. I mean, people was a very, I can't, I know I just sound so sentimental, but I mean, it was incredible. All these people just sharing things, whatever they had, people were sharing. It was great.
Yeah, we only had 11 to 13,000 people at our march in Kansas City, which for Kansas City, that's a huge number that will get out and show up in a January. But it was a very similar feel. People were sharing food and drink. You were getting random spontaneous hugs from people that you had no idea who they were. Everyone seemed to be happy except for a small group of counter protesters. About, I think there were 5 of them or something. Some dude.
Right. The counter protesters were nothing. I mean, there were a few of them. We were kind of worried about that because on the plane out to the Women's March, it was inauguration, if you remember. It was that weekend. And there were a bunch of Trump people on the plane, and we were kind of like, oh. That's why we were so happy there were so many women marchers when we got there.
Yeah, Kansas City was incredible last year for those of us who managed to make it out to the march. And everyone was helping everyone, even with that size crowd. Everyone was in a good humor. And if someone needed to get through somewhere, say there was someone in a wheelchair, everyone was helping them get over the grass and heavy bits or anything till they could get to wherever they were aiming for.
And an awful... Oh, go on, sorry.
I was going to say, and so many people brought their kids. They were planning for it to be safe enough and cool enough and an introduction to this is how you can make your voice hear, that it could be an event for the whole family.
And they very
well, and I will say this too. I think I've contemplated in my mind, it's like, you know, what is the value of a march or a protest or people physically being there? I mean, is that an old recipe that we need to update? And I think after participating in the march, it changed my mind about that, because I think it really left us with the feeling like we can change things. Look at this crowd here. Look at this energy here. We do have the power to change things. So I think that is really changed that kind of mindset for me.
And I think that it really has worked to change things. This last year, by most measures, it was a pretty abominable year overall, but it could have been a lot worse. That we could have had a complete gutting of the healthcare system put in place by President Obama. We could have had a much, much more severe reshifting of wealth from the poor and middle class people to the rich than we ended up having. We could have had many more draconian measures put into place, and we could have had many profound losses in this off-year election than we did. So when people sometimes ask me, because I was one of the speakers at the Women's March here, I think I've dropped that like 3 times in here to give myself publicity. they've asked me, well, did it make a difference? And I have to think, yes, it had to have made a difference.
Well, Karen, do you feel that one of the things that an offshoot of the Women's March, do you think that gave birth to the Me Too movement?
I think so. But, you know, I think really the best thing that came out of the Women's March is because there's so many issues. It's such an umbrella for so many issues, the environmental issues, education issues, so many women's issues. But I think the best thing that came out of it is trying to elect officials that will promote women's issues. And I think if anything else, I think that that has helped that. And it's a really nice thing that has come out of it.
So you said that it being at the march profoundly changed, you know, you, your life. Can you tell me a little bit more about that and then how the momentum from the march has carried over throughout, you know, 2017 for you?
Well, I think for me, like I said, I think just electing officials that are who are women or women-centered is really important. I know I thought about it, but it's like, no, we really need this. And we can do that. I think some of the speakers there, one of my favorites, you know, they had so many great speakers, but a couple of them were people that were in Congress, women that were in Congress. And to me, they were so inspirational, and it made me realize we have so many good resources in our women that we are not utilizing. And why don't we elect these people? What's preventing us from electing these people? We can do it. All we have to do is vote, is to register and to vote and to support these people, and they can be elected. And I think the Women's March told us, too, it's like, well, it's okay to start small. It's okay to start from your local government and have people who are women in local government, as well as your Congress people and things like that.
And so you marched today, and I had to come to the stations. How can you give us a little bit of a commentary about the march in Lawrence today?
Well, I thought it was interesting that they could only get a permit for the sidewalk. I'm like, really? You can't? I mean, there's so many people there, you couldn't give us the street. It's like, okay. But I think one of the speakers brought up something that also reminded me of something I thought of in the march, too, that it is a privilege for us to march. We're not, you know, we're people that are able to take off work. We're people that are able to, you know, that for whatever reason, I know some people brought their kids, but not everyone's able to bring their kids or, you know, things like that. So it is a privilege for us to be able to give our voice. And I think, to me, that was my most favorite thing about what I heard from the speakers today. But, yeah, I mean, even though it was a little chilly today, I think everyone is in a great mood today. It was a lot of good energy. It was actually a lot of fun.
That's great. So maybe for each woman that's at the march, she's sort of representing some other women, too, that maybe couldn't come. And is that kind of what you were saying?
Well, yeah, that okay, because I'll be honest with you. I mean, I think we all had this a little bit of us, and it's like, oh, I have so much to do. I have so much on my plate. I could be doing other things. It's a little chilly. Do I really need to? And it's like, no, our mindset should be, it is a privilege for us to be able to attend. Some people who may want to attend maybe couldn't have attended. So it reminded me of that mindset I had when I was in Washington, D.C., because I know some people wanted to go to Washington, but they couldn't because they had job obligations or because it was just too expensive. And we were able to go, so I always felt like it was a privilege for us to do that.
Well, that's great, Karen. I think that you've really given us a great picture. I mean, you're an artist, so that makes sense. I really did feel like you really gave a good explanation of what it was like in Washington and then also for today. And I really appreciate that you could be on our show today. So thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. It was
yes,
great.
Thank
it was
you.
Fun.
Yeah. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
So next, were we thinking of having another person come in on the phone?
Yes. I think that we will.
Well, I think that one of the things that was brought up in this last interview, of course, was the fact of the marches providing empowerment. And we talked about a little bit before we heard from her that the marches are supposed to be intersectional. And the marches are supposed to be a rallying cry for many disadvantaged and marginalized people to rise up. Just as they've said in the, you know, off-year Alabama election where Roy Moore was set to win and bring all of his incredibly divisive and rather nasty baggage into the United States Senate, and Doug Jones turns out to be the victor. And the analysis after analysis that I have seen as a result of this is it is primarily women of color who defeated evil in Alabama, if you want to think of it that way. That so it is absolutely really crazy that they stood up and they said, we will not stand for this divisiveness. Then we will not stand for this, for a person that is going to push discrimination onto us and so forth.
Yes, and I can't speak to this as I should, because it's something I heard in passing that Rosa Parks kind of kicked off the women's movement by her boycotting the thing she did on the bus and the boycotting of people working. Okay. I think that women of color have been very important to the women's movement, and that's something that we have all discussed that we want to definitely bring to the forefront more this year. And that's something, that the women's movement is a rainbow of different people, just like the world. And so on the line now we have Amy Castle, and she's a lecturer in business and law at the University of Kansas. She won the prestigious Hope Award in 2017. And Amy also, just like Karen, was at the Washington March in 2017 and was also at the Lawrence March in 2018. So, Amy, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hello.
Hello. Great. Okay, I can feel your energy, so it must have been a good march.
It was an awesome march. It was excellent. Awesome, awesome.
How many people do you think were there?
You know, there had to be at least 1,000, maybe a few hundred more than 1,000, but there had to be at least 1,000. It was a sight to be seen in South Park.
And lots of pink hats?
Lots of pink hats, lots of pink hats. And you know, honestly, there were lots of men there as well, not wearing pink hats. It was a good representation. In fact, it was having marched last year in D.C., and there were a few men there, but I was really pleased to see how many men came out to support this most important cause.
Yes, I noticed that too. And you brought your daughter with you, Sabrina. And
I did.
Can you tell us what you think the importance of including, you know, your children in the march, and how you feel about that, and why you got her involved, or did she get involved herself, or tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Well, actually, I took her to D.C. with me as well. So this is truly our year anniversary of beginning to march and protest together. And I think it's so important to show our young women and our young men that when you're not happy with our government, when you have an issue with what our current administration is doing, that you have a voice and you need to use it. She can't vote yet, so she doesn't have that power of the poll, but she has a voice. And she can make a sign, and she can show what democracy looks like. So to me, it's incredibly important to instill in her when something isn't right, when somebody is being mean, when somebody is doing things that are hurting people and advocating policies that hurt marginalized groups, that she needs to speak up. And so we have marched and protested at quite a few events together, and I'm proud to say that my daughter is not afraid to speak out when injustice happens.
That's awesome. I think we have a break coming up shortly.
Yes, we're going to have to take just a very short break to hear some important announcements, but we'll be right back to talk more with you, okay?
Okay.
Okay, great. So hang on. Don't worry.
Okay.
Support for KKFI is brought to you by Folk Alliance International, presenting the Louis J. Myers Music Camp, where pros can study with legends and players can learn from those experienced in the field. Class offerings include songwriting, banjo, bass, fiddle, guitar, mandolin, percussion, ukulele, voice, and more. February 16th through the 18th, 2018 at the Sheraton Crown Center. One day and multi-day passes are available at folkcamp.org.
This is jazz singer Queen Bey from Kansas City, Kansas.
This is Calvin Arsenia, your friendly neighborhood harpist.
Hey, this is Kelly Hunt.
Hi, I'm Connie Dover.
I'm Bob Walkenhorst.
I'm Chuck Haddix, and you're listening to 90.1 FM.
KKFI.
Kansas City Community Radio.
KKFI is the voice of the community. You can amplify that voice and yours by going to kkfi.org/donate.
Okay, we're back. This is Every Woman, and I'm here with Una Nowling, Fiona Nowling, and I'm here with Genevieve Tioni Jobe, and I'm Christina Frazier. And on the line is Amy Castle from Lawrence, and Amy has she attended the Women's March in Washington, D.C., and also today in Lawrence. And Amy, like I did with Karen, I'd like you to take us back to 2017, and what motivated you to go to the Women's March in the first place last year?
Well, I certainly did not have that on my radar in October or November, that's for sure. I think for a great many of us, election night, the day after, maybe even the month after, sort of felt like a fog. You know, pinch me, did this really happen? Is this really our president? And so when I saw that there was a couple of buses going to D.C. From Lawrence, it was a no-brainer. Like, I have to go to D.C. I have to march. And I had never protested. I had never marched before that. But it truly felt like a calling. It really did. And the energy at the march, that has carried me every single day since then. Every single day when something else happens from this administration that hurts people, that marginalizes people, that discriminates against people, I draw upon that energy from the Women's March. But it certainly was not on my radar before the election, that's for sure.
So when you were there, what was your experience like? How did you feel about it when you arrived? Did you also think it was not going to be as big of an event as it was?
Had no idea. I don't think anybody had any idea. And you know what was so cool about the march is, you know, how many people came from certainly all over the country. I have a cousin who took a bus from Chicago to D.C. and marched, but the solidarity and the fact that there weren't any incidents, there was no violence, and there were even there were a few anti marchers there, if you will, but we all went high when they went low, and it was peaceful, and it was electrifying to see that many people who I thought, okay, there are people who think that this is wrong, like me. You know, I kind of, you know, sometimes you question yourself, and as things start, you start getting, you know, desensitized, and things become normalized. It was a great message to me that, oh, okay, I'm not the only one who's really, really bothered by what this administration, what this man has said. And this was, you know, before he even had a chance to do anything as president. So it was a wonderful experience. And I have to tell you, the funnest part about protests and marches are the signs. I mean, people are so creative, and it's fun to make signs. I now have a sign making kit. I have a little kit that I pull out every time I'm getting ready to go to another protest or march. But the signs are awesome.
Yeah, I agree with that. I saw a lot of really cool signs in Lawrence today, too.
Some of them I can't say.
People are mad. People are mad.
Well, it's good that they're mad because
right? So
with some of the things that have happened in our country, not even just recently, but over history, we should be getting more angry about some of the injustices, or all of the injustices, I guess, but with different levels of being mad. Like if Domino's delivers your pizza late, okay, that's a minor injustice. But
so, Amy, as a business and law professor, could you just give us a little your take on how you feel the Trump administration has some of the legislation that they've passed and things? I mean, how do you feel about that? Has it really pushed business forward or certain business forward? How does that work for you?
Well, I probably don't have a lot to say on that. So I teach business law, and I teach a class at the law school. So I'm not a business person, if you will. So I can't speak to that. You know, it is difficult as a professor to remain neutral, because I realize that my students come from all over the political spectrum, and I'm respectful of that. It catches me off guard every once in a while when I have a student come in with a Make America Great hat on or something. But hey, I absolutely respect that. But with that said, you know, I founded the ACLU chapter last year on campus. There wasn't one.
I'm sorry.
Provided an opportunity for students who want to get involved. In fact, one of my ACLU members met me at the march today. I'm trying to push it forward and help students who are upset and angry about what's going on, giving them a voice, giving them a mechanism to be able to speak out. But as far as the business aspect of it, I can't really speak mm-hmm. to that so much.
So there wasn't an ACLU chapter?
There was not. And in fact, I'll tell you a funny story. So after the march, the next week was, and mind you, this is only my second year teaching. So last year was my very first year teaching. So my second semester, so I go to the march, and then the next week was the Muslim ban, the very first one. And I woke up that Sunday morning, and I said, Sabrina, we got to go to KCI and protest this Muslim ban. So we drove to Kansas City, protested the Muslim ban, and it was when I was driving home, and I thought, you know, I'll bet there are some students who'd probably like to go protest with me every now and again. Maybe I'll help out with the ACLU chapter. I looked, no ACLU chapter. So I reached out to the ACLU of Kansas, begged them to start a student chapter. They said, yes, just don't go rogue. Don't go burn anything down. So, yeah, I founded the ACLU chapter, and we have 152 people on our email list now, KU students who are on our email list. We have monthly meetings. I bring in guest speakers. They're really good meetings. But yes, so there was not an ACLU chapter, and that was born from the Muslim protest or the Muslim ban protest.
That is amazing. That's awesome. So you know, a lot of good things coming out of maybe something that was bad that happened in 2017.
Right.
So that's really good to hear. Well,
there you go,
Amy. I really appreciate you coming on the show today.
Oh yes, we do.
And we will hopefully talk to you again sometime. But thanks so much.
Absolutely, absolutely, Christina. Thank you, and thanks for your good work on your program.
Thanks. Bye bye.
Thank you.
All right. Bye bye.
Thank you.
And now I think Genevieve, you wanted to say something here at the end of the show. You had a comment.
Yes, I want to thank Christina, Una, and Fiona for this great show. And this actually represents diversity without boundaries. Thank you for having me. And I'm also encouraging men and women from Africa to participate in these events. And that's how we voice our opinions on so many issues, because we are part of this community. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, thank you. We've enjoyed having you, Genevieve.
Yes, thank you. And thank you all out there for joining us on Every Woman today. Next up, stay tuned for Urban Connections with Donna Wolf. And then guess who's coming to Kansas City with MC Richardson. And you've been listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.